Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah again, if you would. Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter number 53. We read it. It's 12 verses. We won't read the whole thing right now. I want to read just a few verses in it, if you'd follow along with me there. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I want you to notice verse number 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Would you all read verse 6 with me together? Ready? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then if you would notice verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I want you to notice verse number 10 and 11. It says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There's both present and past or future tense in those verses. Very interesting, because the eternal God sees the past, present, and future all at once. He's eternal. We're so confined to time. We look at everything through the lens of time, but God inhabits eternity. God views everything from the lens of eternity. And so in verse number 11, it says, he shall. Verse 10 says, it pleased the Lord. Both the present tense, or as if it had happened, and the future tense. There's no man who can plan with perfection what his son will become or will accomplish. We all have dreams or ideas, but the ability to affect it all is an area beyond human ability. As we focus on the Christmas season, we're going to turn our attention upon the person, Jesus Christ. Regardless of the exact date upon which Jesus Christ was born, he became flesh and dwelt among men. The person of Jesus Christ is a fact of history. The record of Christ in the Bible gives us details of his life, his death, and his resurrection. As we emphasize through song and speech, the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas, we have to contemplate the real reason for this season. What was the purpose of his birth? What was in the Father's mind? This morning I want to turn our attention to God the Father's plans for Jesus Christ the Son. God's plans for his Son. Let's bow for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless these thoughts from your word, that you'd enrich our hearts toward Christ this morning. And again, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, may that one or ones come to trust him today. Bless us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God's plans for his Son. Underneath God's plans for his Son is the aspect that we have to understand that God had an overall plan of redemption as it pertains to man. The central theme of the Bible is God's plan of redemption. That's the central theme of the Bible. The first three chapters in the Bible give us the account of creation and fall of mankind into sin and sin's consequences in the first three chapters, with the promise of a Savior. The closing three chapters in the Bible give us the prophetic account of the new creation and the presence of the redeemed with God forever. The first three chapters show the fall and present God's plan. The last three chapters show the prophetic fulfillment of that. The whole tenor of the Bible records and reveals in detail how God has performed his plan, is performing it even today, and will fulfill it completely in time to come. I don't stand in doubt as to whether God can. God has, God will. The central in the plan of God's redemption is the person, Jesus Christ. The plan of God's redemption is Jesus Christ. So today we want to look at God's plans for his Son. God's plans for his Son. I've thought about this many times. I can't imagine drawing up plans for my son or sons when they were born that resulted in them dying for people that didn't even care for them. God's plans for his Son. We looked in Isaiah chapter 53 and we could see both something presented as if it had done in the present as it had been done and looking toward the future that shall be done. Only God can do that. We can say what has happened, what is happening, but we can't exactly say what will happen. But God did. God's plans for his Son go back to a time that looks at things from the foundation of the world. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. The Bible says that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's plans for his Son started from the foundation of the world. Now, God hasn't told the devil all of his plans and perhaps didn't before creation. When God made man, I think the devil was envious and wanted the praise of creation and tried to usurp God's authority. You know, the devil only knows what he's heard and what God tells him. The devil is not omniscient. Did you know that? He's not even omnipresent. Before the foundation of the world, and you know, that's an interesting concept. I was contemplating that a little bit. The foundation of the world. What does the world hang on? Hangs on nothing, doesn't it? It hangs on the power of the Word of God. That's what it hangs on. And before the foundation of the world, God the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a plan of redemption that the Lamb, God the Son, would redeem a fallen people that God would create. A planned provision of a Savior even before the fall of man from the foundation of the world. Known of God are all His works from the beginning. Nothing ever happens and God gets caught by surprise. From the foundation of the world, God had plans for His Son. Secondly, from the fall of man, God had plans. It's interesting, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when I mentioned the first three chapters present the creation and the fall and the promise of a Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after Adam had sinned willfully, and Eve had been deceived, and Satan was lurking in the background, God made a promise to Eve. In Genesis 3:15, He said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God made a promise there that the seed of woman, later on Jeremiah says, God hath created a new thing, a woman shall encompass a man. I believe speaking of the virgin birth, it's in a context where it talked about Rachel weeping for her children. God promised when man fell that of the seed of woman would come forth one who would bruise the head of Satan and that Satan would bruise his heel. Now, let me just explain in that promise of the coming of the promise of the promised seed. I want to explain that the bruising of the heel represented a harmful blow, a hurt that would cause someone to stop momentarily bruising his heel. You watch a football player twist his ankle, and he lays down on the ground until hopefully everybody in the whole world comes and stands around him, and then in about 3 seconds he miraculously hops off up, runs off the side. But anyway, but somebody hurts themselves, they're injured temporarily. They hurt the heel, you're hurt temporarily. I remember playing basketball a couple times it's happened, but one time I landed on Jerry Judd's foot. He's a teenager where I was youth pastor over in Fostoria, Michigan. We were playing basketball, and I wanted to show how tough I was to the teenagers, and I took a jump shot and came down and landed on his foot, rolled my foot. I mean, I collapsed, but all the young people were standing around watching, and so I jumped up, but I didn't stay up long because I had broken my ankle. And, but I'm walking on it pretty good now, aren't I? See, it was a harmful blow, but not fatal. But the Lord said to Satan, the seed of woman, though you'll bruise his heel, the crucifixion, he's going to rise again. And he is going to bruise your head a fatal blow. Jesus came to destroy. One of the reasons Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. And we see later on in Revelation where he'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever. From the fall of man, God had plans for his son. He'd be the lamb slain. In Genesis chapter 3, we also read that unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God took the skins of innocent animals and clothed to cover their sin, Adam and Eve in the garden. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And from the fall of man, God had plans for his son. I think about the flood of Noah. From the flood of Noah, God had plans. That's an interesting time, wasn't it? We won't go into great detail. We know the story that God saw that the imagination of man was only evil continually, and God determined to destroy the earth with a flood and all living creatures on the earth with a flood, and he did. And the geological approach or the picture, geological picture of the earth today is that which was caused by the flood in Noah's day. And from the flood of Noah, God had plans for his son, because in that story, we see the provision of grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace. The provision of grace in the story of Noah, and of course that grace was pictured, presented in the ark of safety, sparing those saved by grace for the new world that they would enter. From the time of Noah and the flood of Noah, God had plans for his son that he would come and he would be an ark of safety from the righteous judgment of God for all who would put their trust in him. God had plans for his son. And then from the call of Abraham, the call of Abraham. There's so much there with the call of Abraham, but let me just read a couple of verses. From the call of Abraham, God had plans for his son. In Genesis 12 and verse 2, God said to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him or them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Listen. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. From the call of Abraham, we see that God had plans beyond Abraham, plan for his son, seed of Abraham, that he would come into this world and become a blessing to all the families of the earth. Be interesting to find the different backgrounds that we have. You know, I have English backgrounds and a little bit of German background. But mostly English, and you know, we could go around the room and find out that we got Heinz 57 here, right? God's plans for his son from the call of Abraham were that he would bless all the families of the earth. And then I think of from the Exodus out of Egypt. God had plans for his son from the Exodus out of Egypt. The children of Israel, as you know, ended up down in Egypt. Jacob went down there. The sons, Joseph, went first. You know the story. And they were down in Egypt, and they eventually became slaves after several hundred years, slaves to the Egyptians. And God said, I'm going to free you from that and take you to the place I promised Abraham. And the last of the great plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians to make everybody realize that he was God, both the Israelites and the Egyptians. The last of the plagues was that God would send a death angel through all the land of Egypt at midnight. And the death angel would slay all the firstborn of man and cattle. Think of that. If you were the firstborn, Brother Mike, in your house, then you and Kenny. And you are. Mike or the firstborn? All right. The death angel said was to come in and slay all the firstborn of people and cattle in Egypt. But God said, I have a provision, and in that provision, a plan for my son. The provision is you're going to take innocent lambs, if you believe me. You'll take innocent lambs and you'll slay the blood, and then you'll dip hyssop in the blood, and you'll splatter the blood above the door and on the two side posts of the door. And when the death angel comes through all the land of Egypt, when he sees the blood on the door, he'll pass over you, not pass through you. We have the song, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. From the Exodus out of Egypt, we see God's plans for his son. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We're protected from God's judgment by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Jesus is called Christ our Passover. God's plans for his son. Also from the promise to David. King David was promised that the heir to his throne would rule forever. We know that's not Solomon. An heir to the throne, in 1 Chronicles chapter number 17, it says, it shall come to pass when thy days be expired that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I'll raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons. Future. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I'll be his father, he shall be my son. I'll not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee, but I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever. And his throne shall be established forevermore. From the promise to David, we see more plans for the son. That one day he would be a king to rule over from the throne of David over the house of Israel. And we see later that he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then of his kingdom there shall be no end. God had plans for his son. And then we come to the prophecy of Isaiah that we read this morning, and there's so many more things that I could point out, but I won't. From the prophecy of Isaiah, let me give a couple other than what we read this morning, and then we'll look at what we read in just a moment. In Isaiah 7:14, God made a promise through Isaiah concerning his son. His plan. Therefore, the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin. And let me just interject something. For the scoffer and the liberal theologian, it's not just a young woman. It is a young woman who never knew a man. The Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, a miraculous thing. Behold, the Lord creates a new thing. A woman shall encompass a man. You will bruise his heel, but her seed will bruise your head. The Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with plans for his son, looking from the halls of eternity into the finite corridors of time, said he's going to be born of a virgin and you're going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Later, Isaiah says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. plans for his son. But from the prophecy of Isaiah this morning, I want to focus, look at, if you would, Isaiah chapter 53, again in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Slain from the foundation of the world in the mind of God, as if it had happened. When the Passover was slain, when the sacrifices were made, all reflecting what was in the mind of God as if it had happened, yet to take place in time. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Isaiah looked forward almost 600 years before it happened. Isaiah looks forward into the corridors of time and sees God's plans for his son bearing the sins of many. The bearer of our sins. What an interesting phrase there. This whole passage is wonderful. The Jewish faith discounts that it could be talking about Christ, but there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that this particular passage of Scripture is referring to and revealed and fulfilled in the person Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice in verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God's plans, looking to the time when his son would hang on the cross, bearing your sins and mine, and God would see the travail of his soul. My God! My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He would see the travail of his soul and would be satisfied because the price for sin was paid in God's plans for his son. I go on with God's plans, the pronouncement of his birth. The pronouncement of his birth, the angel said to Mary, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The angel to Joseph, his name will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Savior. The angel to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. From Simeon in the temple, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The star to the wise men, saying, they came, where is he that is born King of the Jews? How did they ever think that? Because of the prophets of the Old Testament writing, and especially Daniel's writings. We've seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him, where is he that is born King of the Jews? God's plans for his son. From the words of Jesus himself. From the words of Jesus himself, we can see God's plans for him. You know, I thank God that Dad didn't tell me all the things that he planned for me. And he never said to me, Jim, you ought to be a preacher. I think he probably said, Jim, please don't. His desire would be that I would do the will of God. Live the Christian life and do the will of God, whatever that would be. Because it's not up to humanity to specify exactly what one should do. And from the standpoint of humanity, we all might rebel against our Father's will like that, right? Dad wants me to be a farmer, but I'm not going to be a farmer. God had plans for his son, and the Son of God was the picture of a subordinate, obedient child doing the perfect will of the Father that the Father had planned for him. Jesus said this, speaking to Nicodemus, who knew the Old Testament. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm sure, as Jesus said that to Nicodemus, his mind, being eternal God, could see forward to the cross and see himself fulfilling the plan that the Father had for him, the Son. Jesus said this in Mark, the Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. God had plans for me. The Son indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for him, that man, if he'd never been born. But the Son will go as was planned by the Father. In Hebrews, it speaks of Jesus referring to an old psalm that was written. It says, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And we remember Jesus in the garden prior to the crucifixion, as the weight of the world's sin was beginning to rest upon his shoulders, and the knowledge of what he was going to suffer began to settle upon him. He prayed in the garden, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And his mind went back, I'm sure, to the eternal plan of the triune God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as they planned redemption through the Son. And as Jesus has lived 33 and a half years about, he's ready to go to the cross of Calvary, and the weight of all of it is upon his human aspect, God and man together. The flesh or the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But he said, you had plans for me, and I yield to God's plans for his son. Up Calvary's mountain. One dreadful morn walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Hear the Father. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. hear the prophecy, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. I want to move ahead to God's plans for his son. Skip over a point for time. God's plans for his son. Let's think about it. God planned the purpose. The whole purpose for Jesus being born in a manger wasn't so we could sing away in a manger. The whole purpose so we could sing on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. God planned the purpose to be our substitute for every person. God in heaven planned that Jesus Christ would go to the cross of Calvary in your place for you. That was his plan. You know everything about you. So did God. And God's plan was, I'm sending my son to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, and to go to the cross of Calvary to take the weight and punishment of your sin upon himself. That was God's plan for his son. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. God planned the purpose to be our substitute. God planned the people, the Hebrew race. God planned the place in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea. God planned the pathway. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey colt. He faced the rejection of his own people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was betrayed by one of his disciples and crucified by the Gentiles. The passion was planned by God. The cruel death of the cross at that point in history, that was the modus operandi of the Roman government. The death of the cross. God planned that. He came in the fullness of times when everything else was just right, including that type of death. And God's plan for his son was ultimately the provision, salvation for all who would believe. The Bible says that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. See, he knew the plans. Endured the pain because he knew the plans. God's plans for his son were that he would live and die and give life for those dead in trespasses and sin. God's plans for his son were that he would be crucified for you and me, that he would rise from the dead to give eternal life to those who are dead in sin, that he would come and take all who believe to be with him forever, redeemed from sin to be his purchased possession. God's plans were that his son was born to die that we could live. God's plans are for those of us who are saved to live with their Redeemer forevermore. God's plans for his son included plans for you and me. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You were in the mind of God and his plans for his son. So we have to ask this question. Have you let God fulfill his plans in you? His plans were that Jesus would pay it all, but each one must call upon him to receive that. Could you imagine what it'd be like to find out that you had a lump sum of money waiting for you and you never picked it up and you lived as a pauper and drove a beat up old vehicle all your life. And then you find out there was a lump of money waiting for you and you never got it. Can you imagine what it's going to be like for you if you're not saved, but for others to see what God had for you in his plans for his son, but you wouldn't accept it. Will you let God fulfill his plans in you? And then my next question, will you and I share his plans with others? Amen? We need to share that. Wow. God had plans for Jesus that include you if you'll let him. God's plans for his son. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time this morning, and there's so many other things that we could have interjected into this message, but we pray that you'd take these thoughts, help us to understand the depth of love and thought and preparation and planning that you as the Father engaged in to provide Jesus Christ, your Son, as the Savior from sin. We thank you, we praise you, and we want to share this wonderful news with others. Heavenly Father, I pray if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ, may they by faith accept the gift of eternal life that you offer through what Jesus did for them. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. How horrible it would be if you slipped out into eternity without receiving the gift of eternal life God planned and provided for in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you don't know for sure you're saved, you've never come to him and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell, but I believe you died and rose again for me, and I call on you to come into my heart and save me, wash away my sins, and give me your eternal life. If you're here this morning and that's never been your heartfelt, sincere prayer, turning from sin to trust the Savior, would you make it yours today? I wonder if there's anyone here who, by an uplifted hand, no one else is looking, would just raise a hand and say, Pastor Whitman, I want to make sure I'm saved. I want to get that settled today. Would you slip up your hand, please, please? Anybody? Anybody? Who'd say, Pastor, I'm torn about it. I'm really not sure whether I'm saved. Pray for me. I'd like to get that settled sometime soon. Would you slip up your hand? Anybody? How many would say, Preacher, by the grace of God, because of God's great forethought and planning in sending Christ to be my Savior, I pray that I'd be emboldened to share that wonderful plan with others around me. Pray for me. Who'd slip up your hand? Amen. God bless you. In just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing. If you have something you want to pray about, come down, use the front steps or the front pew as a little altar and talk to God. Slip back to your seat. If you need to speak to me, I'll meet you at the front. If you're not sure you're saved, I'd invite you to come and say, Preacher, help me get this matter of eternal salvation settled today. Only trust him. Only trust him. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 328, Only Trust Him.
Come, every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will
Ensemble members, thank you. You did a great job, I thought, today. Appreciate you singing out those wonderful songs that reminded us of God's plans for His Son. And I'm glad you're here. I hope you're going to have a good Christmas time. You know, sometimes during Christmas, I get a little melancholy. And I think it's because I reflecting about being a kid. I was sharing with my wife. I could remember sitting there in our living room with our Christmas tree on. I remembered me and my buddy Dave York riding our bikes out in the snow in the winter there in upstate New York. And you know, I have the tendency to get a little melancholy. So cheer me up, okay? Be here for all the services during the Christmas holidays. And God bless you. Have a great day. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for those who visited with us today. We pray your blessings upon their lives, that they'd come back. And Lord, I pray that you'd just help each of us to be even more reflective upon the great love wherewith you loved us. How we can't even begin to comprehend it. But we thank you. Thank you for your great plan of redemption in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.